Today, we're going to be looking at something. But while I was, you know, making headway here, because that's not what we are talking about today, but someone needs to encourage themselves. Someone needs to encourage. Someone needs to encourage himself or herself. Because you know what God told me? It's going to be way better than you ever thought it would be. You know, there are certain times, everybody experiences this, where you will be tempted to be discouraged. I'm not saying you are discouraged. It's that there will be a temptation to be discouraged about anything in life. You know, as life goes on, you know, some individuals have certain timelines for certain things that must be achieved in certain years. And they look at it and they say, where has the time gone? And normally, the temptation will be that you now begin to want to just give it all up. Because then a certain timeline that you set looks like it didn't happen. And these are just issues of life. You had very promising dreams and ambitions. And it looks like you doubt those dreams and ambitions. For some in life, it will be that you had certain targets you must meet, and it looks like you never met those targets, or you haven't met them yet. And there will be that temptation to say, why don't I just give it all up? I'm not doing again. I don't want to have anything to do again. Let me just throw it all out. Let me walk out. For some, it gets that serious to say, I want to end my life. Because they do not know that our life does not necessarily constitute in all of the things that we see with our physical eyes. Some are sick, troubled, worried. But there's a time of your life where you have to tell yourself, it's getting better. And there are times where you have to tell yourself, I will not give up. You'll have to tell yourself at certain points in time, the vision is still alive and it's active. Yeah. You have to tell yourself, get up again. Get up again. Don't sit there. Get up again. Get up again. Go again. Pray again. Some of us have very strong fast withdrawals. Once we touch and it looks like it didn't work, we suddenly move back. Say, never again. I'll never do this thing again. But there are times like these where you must tell yourself, that you know. Keep moving. Keep moving. Don't stop. Don't stop. You know, one time, there were a lot of things happening around me. You know, things happen around me, but I have a way of just calmly controlling them. So, while they were raging, you know, a lot of things happening. So, you know, I just laid on my bed and I said, I laughed actually. You know, normally when things are raging, I'll just be there and I'll laugh. So I just coiled myself in the blanket and I said, waiting man no see before. Waiting man no see before. So I said, waiting man no see before. That's my encouragement. I remember so well, waiting man no see before. Huh? Waiting man no see before. If you've not seen it before, you've watched it in movies, you see. So at least you have seen it before. So I just said, waiting man no see before. Well, in my blanket, and I said, Lord, thank you, Lord Jesus. I began to speak in tongues. Waiting man no see before. Waiting man no see before. Waiting man no see before. Waiting man, tell your friend, waiting man no see before. You know, when you don't have money, you say, in Jesus' name, there's money, but waiting man no see before. Waiting man no see before. So, I remember, you know, those times where, you know, sometimes there's just pressure in ministry. It comes like that. It comes. There's a time where it becomes more intense. Saying, the Lord is with me. Tell yourself, if God did not call you, and if God has not called you, that is when any unexpected thing can happen to you, to death, and to your total and absolute destruction. But if God has called you, if God's hand is on you, if God is with you, and I believe you know God is with you, if God is with you, if God walks with you, that's all you need. You know, at a point in time, I realized that the Lord is many of the times ever present in times of trouble. Yeah. The very raging times of my life are times where I felt Him the most. Yeah. Like you almost turn and say, Lord, I'm so sure you are here. Like it's so tangible. You know, I have experiences, you know, when you come, some of you have these experiences once in a while. Like there's a weight, you sense it. I have it consistent. And it's even weightier in times of troubles. But in times of trouble, you know that God is with you. So tell yourself, I will not be discouraged. Tell that to yourself again. So take your seats. So I don't know what is discouraging anyone in church. I don't know. For some of us, we tried certain things and it looks like it didn't turn out. Some of us have been discouraged from senior high school, university, life. It's like we've bundled the discouragements. I met someone like that from senior high school. She has been discouraged. She said she didn't get to the senior high school she wanted to get. She didn't also get the university she wanted to get. So in her life, these two experiences are total failures for her. And then she veers off into a lot of things. Discouragement is what makes many go in for drugs, for comfort from other places. Because they just cannot think of what else to do apart from distracting or destroying themselves. But there are those times where you need to just be calm. Are you listening? Yes, and talk to yourself. Call your name. You say, Pascal. Everything is working together for you. You know, I love the song. It says, same for me. Everything is working for my good. Everything is working for my pleasures every time. Because I don't have to see what's working behind the scenes. All I know is the script is working out for me. Everything is working for me. Everything is working for my good every day. Everything is working for me. Everything is working for my pleasures every time. I don't have to see. And I don't have to see. Who is going to do it? Who's going to connection? No, no, no. What's working behind the scene? All I know is the script is working. One more time. Because everything is working for me.
For
my good. When you see things not going well, everything is working. Is working for my pleasures every time. I don't have to see, yeah, yeah. What's working behind the scene? All I know is, when you look to yourself and you say, I'm growing older, it looks like life is, what is happening? What is happening? It's like I'm ages. No, relax. Relax. Everything is working for you. Is working. You don't have to see what's working behind the scenes. All I know is the script is working. Are you encouraged? So tell yourself, it's all working together. Listen, I'm encouraging you, but I'm not telling you something I don't do. I talk to myself. You know, I listened to something Bishop Dark said some time back. He said that when he started the ministry for 10 years, he went to his office one time and he was totally discouraged because he didn't know what he was doing in 10 years. But look what God has done in 35 years. 10 years, there was no visible, viable fruits. The next years of your life is the best of your life. You have to believe it. I don't know what you are believing God for. I don't, but the next years, like every year will get better. Because the rest of your life is the best of your life. The rest of it is the best of it. And someone say, my family, there's this sickness. Don't worry. You know, in certain years, it's been psychologically proven. I don't know why I'm going with this, but can I just flow? So, there is something that some psychologists will call a midlife crisis. Who knows a midlife crisis? When does it happen? Sorry? 40s? Are you sure? Let me preach my preaching. Someone say around the 40s. Okay, that's still close. So let's say between 40 and 50. But between 40 and 50, many times people make sudden turns in anything they are doing in life. Because it's at that point in time, you get to actually reflect, like, what has my life really brought? So, in those periods, That's where you find people who have done something for a long time, 50 years, they turn back. Yeah, literally all there, because when they look at it, they can't see viable fruits. It's in those times frustration stepping. So, you know, there was one famous, sorry to share, but there was one famous somebody who was messing around on social media at a point. And then somebody said, oh, he's experiencing a midlife crisis. And when they checked, his age was just around that age. So you are tempted to say, no, I think this thing I have to review it. I think I have to reconsider. I think I know I will not go. I can't do again. I can't do it. I can't go again. But you see, I believe that what even they call midlife crisis, it happens even in, not even middle, quarter. In our generation, quarter. Take your seats. It's like quarter life crisis. 20, 25. You are already like saying that, you know, life is meaningless. You don't see the essence of life. You just because you applied for 2 applications and they didn't pick you. Huh? Now it's not midlife, it's quarter life. 20, they have BP. Oh, it's very common now. Blood pressures are shooting up. 20, 19, 18. I met somebody, teen, and the person already was spiking. Quarter life crisis. But you see, if you can just learn to encourage yourself. You know, there's one thing I've always loved about my mom. And I always say this. She never puts me under pressure in anything. Never. Nothing. Like, you know, when I started working and I spoke to, was it my mom or my grandma? Yeah, should be my mom. And I started working and she said that when you make money, eat all. Don't say you are saving. Eat first. Eat them. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. When you get money, eat, enjoy yourself. You are the one that worked for the money. So eat the money. I said, what an advice. She said, don't worry about saving. Saving is good, but saving comes when you have done one or two, but you've not eaten, you are saving. What are you saving for? You've not eaten, you are saving. What are you saving for? So she was telling her, when you get at least, she said, well, the next few months, you know, eat good food, go tonight, eat, just be eating. I said, some good advice, don't you think so? Now, first sermon I taught you this year was frugality. So don't forget, I'm not saying that, so I say, you know, I sat with someone, the caveat is here, the flip side of a coin is here, I sat with somebody a few days back, I think the person is listening to me, and I told him, what have you been using your money for? He said, oh, my food. I said, why can't you save? So you see, I'm not telling you to go and say, people of God, come and listen. Pastor has said that. So, we are going to some food joints. We say, you know, the woman knows how much you buy. She knows you buy 10 CDs, meat, 5 CDs, macaroni, garri, 2 CDs. She'll say, aha, maintenance. Me changing my mind. Pass, mommy 20, huh? mommy 20. And now, no. Add, yeah, beef, huh? Cotogeno, want it. No, that's not what I'm saying. So please understand me in context. But all I'm just saying is be encouraged, eh? Be encouraged. Someone traveled, you didn't travel, be encouraged. You started life with somebody, the person seems to be ahead, be encouraged. You don't have a car, someone has a car, be encouraged. You are not married, someone is married, be encouraged. I don't know what are some of the things, but anything in life, just pick it and say, I'm going to encourage myself. Everything is going to be fine. Why not? Then you put in the work. with a lot of encouragement. I see you becoming a blessing. So as we get into today's teaching, don't forget this exhortation. You have to encourage yourself. Waiting man no see before. Waiting man no see before. Waiting man no see before. Bullet serve he the chop. All right, we're moving to our sermon. Are you encouraged? If you like, you listen to me and say, no, Mimi, take your discouragement. I've told you, don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged. You know, one time I asked God that, so Lord, I really want to ask you. I have to ask you. The prayers I pray, where are they? Have you asked God that question? That the prayers you are praying, where is it? Where's the prayer? And you say, oh, it's compounded. I say, is that so? And I'll get up here and shabalabala. I'm encouraging myself. Continuing like that. Like that. Continuing. So, we are encouraged. And then it comes with being full of gratitude. Just think. Just thank. In everything, just give thanks. Just be encouraged. Are you going to do that? Are you sure? Me, I'm not discouraged though. You don't know me. I was telling someone, I said, if all of you leave today, like you come and say, Pastor, all that you have been teaching, we are disloyal to you. We are leaving. I'll go back to archaeology. And I'll start again. Because that's what life is about. Or if archaeology is too big, I'll find archaeology. Find archaeology. That's all. You just start. Archaeology is big. Logy. Logy means where two or three are gathered. Logy. And you just flow. Why not? Just flow. Just be happy. Yeah. Alright. So we're looking at something very important today. And I'm hoping I'll be able to be snappy on this. We're looking at saved, what the Bible says. Saved, what the Bible says. Last week we looked at what? Repent. Today we are looking at saved, what the Bible says. Now, as I teach, I trust that this conversation is going to be summed up beautifully. It's going to be summed up beautifully. It's going to be summed up beautifully. Before we get into it, let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you this morning for the spirit of revelation, wisdom made available to our spirits in the meeting. There's no confusion here. We see Christ clearly in the scriptures. In Jesus' name, amen. So we are beginning to see the word saved and what the scriptures intend communicating to us when such a word is used. That's going to be our reason for gathering. I was going to say that's going to be our objective, but objective makes me sound like a lecturer. So it came to my mind, but I said, no, we are raising for gathering. That sounds more pastoral, even though it's still the objective of the word session. And in conversations like this, I'm just going to be talking to you and we'll be opening the scriptures. Are you ready for a jolly opening of God's word? Now, saved. What's the Bible's position when we use the word saved? Saved. Saved. What's the Bible's position on the use of the word saved? Now, it's quite unfortunate that Many have treated the word to mean something else other than what the Bible intends it to mean. For some, they believe that the word saved means that, of course, a man cannot sin anymore. So, say, you are saved. And look at your sins. So, when you use the word saved, some feel a man cannot sin anymore. You know, or when a man is claimed to be saved, he loses the ability to sin. But would that be in place? We're going to get to see. There's also some wrong perceptions people have about the word saved biblically. It's to mean that if I sinned after salvation, then I was never saved. If I did something wrong after salvation or after being saved or after having received salvation, it means that I wasn't really saved. And there's quite an extreme where people believe that when you say someone is saved, the person is perfect. So, say, huh? Is he not the one that gave his life? He gave his life to Jesus. Today now I see him for the down there. Now they do that. In thing they do. Say, nah. It's not possible. It's not possible, you see. But is that what the Bible really says? When I'm saved, have I become perfect? Or when I'm saved, I suddenly do not struggle with the flesh any longer. When I'm saved, it means that the flesh is no longer an issue. I don't have problems with the flesh. I don't have problems with my feelings, my emotions, my will, my thoughts. The girls I used to still like, I like them. The boys I still used to like, I still like them. So how am I now saved? The thing I used to smoke, I still smoke. I still have a desire too. I still sleep. I still eat. A lot. So when the Bible uses the word saved, what does it mean? Does temptation suddenly disappear? Do I have a sudden disappearance of temptations? The temptations I had, I will no longer have them. But is this the case? I was bald-headed, so I'll suddenly have hair growing. Because now I am saved. Is that what to look out for when the Bible uses the word saved? How are we supposed to understand what the Bible says when it uses the word saved? So today, our exegesis is going to be around these gently. I'm going to caress your minds. Right? Then God's Spirit will open your minds and your hearts to what it means to be saved. So let's get into God's word now. Are these things all the reason? Because how many of us, I mentioned some of these things, but you saw that something I mentioned, you are inside. Wow, that means that you are not inside. You don't struggle with the flesh. You are 100% spiritual. Let me see your hand. Oh, wow. It's like my church, they are spiritus concutusus. It's the Latin meaning for heavily spiritual. Yeah? How many of us have certain character? I met somebody. No, I didn't meet. I was talking to the person over the phone. And she said, Pastor Pascal. No, not in this church. Say, Pastor Pascal. So, Pastor, I really want you to pray for me. I said, what? I said, pray. I have a certain character. My character is not good. But this is a very saved woman of God, though. Very saved. Very saved. So I thought to tell her that we all have things we have to work on. Everybody, as we study the word, because it gets better. So how many of us, as I was mentioning something in the saved category, you realize that I am here. There is something. Let me see my hand. Okay. Aside that you have the rest, those who don't have their hands up, they don't have a problem with their flesh. They don't have a problem with their minds. They don't have a problem with their feelings. When they stand before God, they are 100%, they feel like they are very holicious. Of course, the believer is holy, but you should understand what I'm saying in the context of what I'm saying, right? So the deeds of the holy man. Now, you don't have temptations. Even overeating is, you have already unsaved yourself. And when you eat, you belch, you have unsaved. Huh? So, you know, what does it mean? What does it mean? When the Bible uses the word saved. Are we ready? John 3:16. John chapter 3, verse 16. I chose this verse to start because it's a verse that even when we don't open, because John 3:16. So we can start from something we know at least. That will make a lot of sense. So in John 3:16, actually the background story is the man Nicodemus. And Nicodemus, who is a ruler or religious ruler, walks to Jesus and sneaks to him by night. And then he asks Jesus, how is it that you're able to do all of these mighty signs and wonders? And Jesus says that you must be born again. I like Jesus' response. You have to be born again. So then he's now wondering, should I go back into my mom's womb and be born a second time? That's quite interesting for a religious senior man. That's why he could not come, because he had to sneak, because they seen with Jesus, say, hey, you are a professor of the law. Why are you seen walking with Jesus? So he had to hide gently. And he asks Jesus the question. So Jesus gives him how that he can be saved. How that he can be saved. Of course, in the next verses, he compares the wind to the spirit. And then how that he that is born of the flesh is the flesh, and he that is born of God is of God. Then he now also reminds Nicodemus of a story which I believe they knew, of Moses who had issues where serpents were biting, you know, the people. And then the Son of Man is lifted, a wooden or a brazen serpent is lifted, and anyone that looked at that got saved. So he related that to what he was now about to say. Are you listening? So I think verse 14 gives us some good background. So we'll start from verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpents in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. The person has eternal life. Now pay attention to tenses in our conversation. The person what? Or the person is about to? Pay attention. He that believeth in Jesus hath what? Eternal life. Somebody say, I have eternal life.
I have eternal life.
All right. Then he now says, for this reason, God loves the world, because the world is in sin. God loves the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Then in verses 17, he now says, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, But that the world through him might be what? Saved. The word saved, we're looking at the word saved. So pay attention. God sent his son into the world. I mean, God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world of sin, but the world through him might be saved. Might be saved. Now, the word saved there is what we're going to look at carefully. Carefully. Just carefully. We're going to be careful about the word saved. Now, the word saved there is the Greek word sozo. Sozo. I think it was in one of these teachings a couple of years ago, I got some of you understanding the gospel in a certain way. I remember. Maybe about 6 years ago or more. So the word saved there is the word sozo. Somebody say sozo. Sozo. It's pronounced sozo, like S-O-D-Z-O, but it's spelled S-O-Z-O. So it's the word sozo. It's the word sozo. Now we're going to look at the word sozo and what it means. Then we're going to expound that into several other scriptures and it will be much clearer. So the Greek word is the word sozo. And it means to rescue from danger. So when we have the word sozo being used, we are saying that the person is rescued from danger. So the Greek word sozo is the word, English word rescue. It also means to keep safe. Now we're going to put it together. So pay attention. We're going to put it together. So he says that rescue is to move one from harm's way. So to sozo is to rescue from danger. It also means to keep what? Saved. Often describing a certain form of preservation. So when we use the word sozo, we're talking about being rescued from danger and then what? Being preserved in safety is the word sozo. It also means to keep one sound and safe. We're going to use the word intelligently. To keep one sound and safe. So, whenever we use the word sozo or saved, what we should be looking at is to rescue, okay? Is to rescue and to keep what? Safe. Or to rescue and to preserve in safety or to preserve. So when a man is saved or sozoed, the person has been rescued. Of course, you don't have to be rescued if there's nothing wrong. There's only a rescuing when there is danger or there is something that is harmful. And you also do not rescue and further expose to danger. That means that sozo, which is saved, would not have been fully accomplished. So in considering the word saved, we're looking at to be rescued and to be kept safe. To preserve one from danger. So it means that when we use the word sozo or saved, it just does not entail the rescuing. It entails the rescuing and the preservation of the one that has been rescued. That means that when you rescue somebody and the person doesn't end up being preserved and kept in safety, they wasn't saved. When you rescue and the person doesn't end up being preserved and kept, there wasn't a saving. Now, imagine You snatched a cripple from the roadside, a coming vehicle. There's a coming vehicle. And you went and then you snatched the cripple. And then you go to put the cripple on another road. What have you done? You have so? Because for sozo to be complete, the person has to be rescued. And when the person is rescued, the person is preserved from further harm. So in being saved, we're talking about rescuing and preserving from harm. Or someone was drowning in the river. And then you went there. Right? And then you pull the person out of the river. But then you know that in 20 minutes there's going to be another storm. Then you leave the person at the brink of the river. That is rescuing, but it's not rescuing to the point where the person is preserved and saved from harm's way or from danger. So the word sozo entails the rescuing and the preservation from harm's way. Or you saw a man who, or you rescued a man from the bite of a snake. So a snake is about to bite him, right? Then you take him, then you go and abandon him in a forest full of snakes. Did you save him according to what I'm teaching? Sozo, was there a saving? No. Because then when you save the person from a snake bite, right, there should be further preservation and safety from other snake bites. You don't save the person and you go to drop the person in a forest that's full of okonko powers with snakes slithering all over and demonic evil powers. No, that means you shouldn't have saved me. You should have just, because sometimes death earlier is better. Don't you think so? Yeah. Because if you will not save me, like you will not save me and I know you have saved me, then I think you should, because sometimes, imagine it was one serpent's bite, but you have gone to put him in a forest full of, so here, there, everywhere. And it's everywhere. So for sozo to be complete, for saved to be complete, it doesn't just entail saying that, you know, you pick the person or you rescue the person and then you further expose the person to danger or to harm. It doesn't make sozo complete. So in, you know, expounding the word, we're looking at something that is done to the completion. That is when the sozo would have been accomplished or fulfilled. So it's not rescue and leave. No. It's rescue till you stay, till the person is totally and absolutely safe and sane and sound. You do not rescue and you ditch. It's not rescue to abandon. You know, sometimes we think it's rescue to now figure out your own way. It's like you have been rescued, but now you are on your own. And you're like, why did you rescue me in the first place? No. The word sozo doesn't entail that. Now just imagine the cripple. You rescue the cripple, then you tell the cripple you are on your own. Crippled. Like, what have you done to me? No. So in exhausting the word sozo, we're going to be saying the person is rescued and then the person is preserved. If you were a paramedic, right? You go as a rescue team. Then you go and see the person. Then you say, hold on. You are telling the person to hold on. Like, hold on, eh? You are supposed to know what to do to cause the person to hold on. That's why you are there. So if there's oxygen, you put in your oxygen. Huh? Then you manage the person. What do they call it? SpO2. You see their oxygen concentration, like you manage it. You try to wonder what's going on. Then the thing is going. Then you say SpO2 available, but you know, you just hold on. You'll be fine, okay? And the person says, you ask him, how are you doing? He said, I am getting better. Yeah, the person says, I am getting better. But you know what to do to make the person completely well. So why don't you do it? It's like somebody that said, if you not help me completely, don't help me. You know, he went to see someone. You know, someone asked me for something. Someone, let me tell you something. This life, don't do anything that will destroy you. You know, when you are much younger, we are all young, but when you are much, it's like your mind is still young. You know, you want to do everything to help in every way. You know, you just come up and say that I need this thing emergently. I need it immediately. You didn't get the joke. You need the thing emergently. Like, it's an emergency, but it's immediately. So I should now give you everything that I've been saving now because you need it immediately. So the person came to me like that. You know, said that I really need this. So the person mentioned the money. So I said, not that I couldn't give the person, no. It's not for you. Like, it's not for you. Like, it's not that I don't have. But what I have is not for you. I can't give it to you. You see, it's for someone else. And it's for a particular reason. And there's a particular cause attached to it. It's like, can you give me? If it's for you, I'll give it to you. But if it's not for you, I can't give it to you. You know, so I told the person that. No, but he exhibited good features or characteristics. So I told the person that, you know what? As for this one, I won't give it to you. But there's something I can give to help the situation. So I sent the person, oh, thank you so much. Thank you so much. I'm so very much grateful. Now, you said you were going to pay back, which I don't trust you'll pay back, actually. You know, someone just called me sometime ago and said, Prof, you know, I want to ask you for a loan. I have a car I want to buy. I said, okay. So how much do you want? The person mentioned the price. I said, no, I have the money. I said, I have the money, but I can't. Me, I don't have a car. So how would I give you something? I mean, me, I don't have. What you say you need immediately? I should give you what I've been doing. So you want to go and do it right now? I said no. You know, in just a few weeks, I will give you the money. I said to myself, you know, why don't you wait those few weeks? You know, sometimes people are not smart. Why don't you? You said just 3 weeks. 3 weeks. You give it back to me in 3 weeks. But you can't wait 3 weeks to raise that money. 3 weeks is just 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. So I said, no, you don't do some work like that. Immediately. So I said, no, this one you don't. So me, normally I'm just calm. I need this. I said, if I can help, I'll help you. If I can help, I'll help. That's how I live my life. If I can afford it, I'll get it. If I can, I don't strive to do anything in life. If I can do, I'll do. If I can do, I'll not do it. And I'll trust God for it. Maybe some other times it's going to get better. Of course, it will get better. You know, Bishop Oyedepo said something that I heard. I don't know if he said it and I heard, but I heard it from someone. I know he said that. Now, they were very poor. He said that he didn't worry. Don't worry his children to go to Montessori. Just put them in the government school. Yeah. It's true. But you want it immediately. How did I get here? It's a flow. Maybe I'm saving someone. Immediately. Immediately. It's a sozo. It's a saving. It's a rescuing and keeping you from every useless harm. You know, people are bitter because of things they did for people that they could not do. If you can't do, why are you doing? Are you God? If you can't do, you can't do. If you can do it, please do it. It's different. It's very different. If you can do it, please do it. If you can help, please help. But if you can't help, don't say that you go and borrow. Huh? Say, you know, just I want to borrow some money. I have some connection at London. When I go and it's work. That's how people got mad. Because they got it, everything, gave it to the one. They thought that the person was going to go to London. And the person ended up not going. The person can't pay the money back. You know, the funny thing is that the person didn't use the money on Visa. Used it on girls and chilling. Take your seats. So, maybe this is the saving. I don't know, but there's some saving. I said, no, it's not for you. I can't, but it's not for you. If I give it to you, I feel like it's not yours. It's not for you. It's for someone else. And when the person comes, I'll give it to the person. But it's not for you. You didn't pay your rent. 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, 5 months, 6 months, 7 months, 8 months, 9 months, 10 months, 11 months, 12 months. Then you come up immediately and say, I need the money now to pay my rent. What were you like? How do you think? I'm being evacuated. 12 months, you didn't think. You didn't think that you know? I don't understand. You didn't, 12 months. If it's like 3 months upfront payment, then you said, but 12 months, you didn't think. I was telling someone that when I left the house in Tamale, from where I come from, we are still on Sozo, don't get it. I bought my iron a few months. I started buying my things 2 years into me moving into my own house. Yeah. I'll get loose money, I'll buy iron. I'll get loose money, I'll buy microwave. I'll put it down, then I'll buy a fridge. So I had things scattered all over. You can ask it. I bought everything, bought modem. He went to bring all of it. Modem is in Kaswa. Table is in Ashama. Even now, I have shoe rack that I have not taken, that I bought 3 years ago. I always remember, I said, yeah, this shoe rack, I have to go and pick it. Because I was buying the things, one microwave here, one iron here, one. I bought and bought doormats, keyboard, I envision, modem. I bought a telecell. It was in his house for close to 2 years. I just said, let me just buy it. I don't know what I'm going to use it for, but I'll just buy it. So by the time I moved in into my own house, I had everything set without any struggle. You get Sozo. Eh? You get Sozo. You get your hair. Unya sika win. So, emergently, you are emergently. No, I can't give it. It's not your money. It's not for you. I may have it, but it's not for you. You see how I pay my rent? I start putting money down. I split the rent. When I pay rent, if I pay rent 2 years, I split them every month. I would hide this. By the time you would be able to pay without, emergently. Take what I'm saying seriously. Is it that their family? We are all contributing 30,000. Someone told me that give me 30,000. We are all contributing 40,000. I said, 40,000 for funeral. How many siblings are you? Oh, a lot. I've seen a number. Everybody's bringing 40,000. But you? Then the 40,000, you have to find it for me. Eh? So no pressure. Don't. Back to Sozo. Maybe I'm prophesying. I don't know who needs to hear this and be saved. And you also who move impulsively. You just wake up and you want something, money. Suddenly you want to do something. So the word Sozo actually is to rescue, then you leave. I mean, to not rescue and not leave, or is not to rescue and ditch. It's also not to rescue and abandon. So in the word sozo, it means that the person is saved. Of course, saved from danger and put into preservation of safety. The Pay attention to the word. It is saved. It is saved. Back, rewind. When you have help, is that okay? I'm not saying you shouldn't help. I'm just saying when you don't have, when you are trying to. Forward, saved. Not will be saved. Back to John 3:16. Maybe I should have you reading the scripture. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever what believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his son into the world to what? Condemn the world through him, but that the world might be what? So don't forget the word saved is the word what? Sozo. So the world will be saved. It's not the world is being saved. No. The world will be saved if the world gets to believe in him. So you are rescued and you are put. You are rescued and you are kept safe from harm's way. Matthew 1:21. Look at how the word is used. Matthew. Matthew 1:21. Matthew 1:21. Can we read together as a church? And he shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Do we see how the word saved is used? So, who now is the rescuer? Jesus. So, he is saving the world from what? Their sins. So, remember, the word is to rescue and as well to preserve from what? Harm's way. So, Jesus' job description will be to rescue them from their sins. Of course, meaning that there is a danger that comes with sin. Right? So, he rescues from their sin. Look at back to John 3:17. John 3:17. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So he is rescuing the world from what? From sin. And eventually, he preserves from the sin, or he preserves from the results of sin. Right? Okay. So, there's a result of sin, and that result is definitely death. But when he comes, he rescues, then he preserves from what? Sin produces, which is the danger of sin. So sin has its own dangers. Right? Okay. So, if he rescues and he preserves, will sin be a problem any longer? No, because he rescues, then he preserves. So he rescues from sin, then he preserves from the danger that sin will bring. So Jesus then becomes the rescuer. Then he says, for God did not send his son into the world to what? To condemn the world. The world, the word condemn there is, you know, to summon the world to a certain form of trial. Of course, you are summoning for a judgment to be passed or for a judgment to be given. So you summon him. Then we're going to see the word condemnation, which is the result of being condemned. Are you listening? So then he calls this, is that, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. The word condemn is the word krinos. K-R-I-N-O-S. Or krino. It means to summon one to a trial. So he's not coming, or he's not sent his son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. Now look at verse 19. Verse 19. And this is the condemnation. Now the word condemn is the word krino. The word condemnation is the word crisis. K-R-I-S-I-S. Where we get the word crisis from. C-R-I-S-I-S. Okay? So when Jesus appears, he's not coming to krino the world. It means the krino is not where the problem is. The crisis is what the problem actually is, because it's when you are condemned that you are finally exposed to what you have been condemned. It means that's the condemnation. Are you listening? So he's not coming to judge the world, but he's coming to what? Save the world. Now he says, this is the condemnation. This is the crisis of the world not heeding to Jesus. This is the condemnation. That what? That the light is come into the world and men rather loved what? Darkness rather than the light. All right. So, he likens what he says to them as light. Remember, he's still speaking to Nicodemus, of course. So he likens light and darkness. Light and darkness is in a context. So we have to follow the context of what is written. He's talking about everlasting life and death. He's talking about perish and, of course, not perishing. He's talking about saved and not saved. He's talking about condemned or condemnation and not condemned or no condemnation. So light and darkness there is Jesus, which is believing in what he's saying, that he that believeth is the light. He that believeth not will be condemned, and that's the darkness. So unbelievers are already in darkness. The believer is already in what? In light. So he now says that this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world. Of course, those who choose not to believe what he's saying are those who choose darkness rather than what? Light. So the believer is in what? Light. The unbeliever is in what? Darkness. So in this, Jesus is coming to save. And I said, don't forget how the word saved is used. It's not just to rescue, leave to one. Rescue, abandon. Rescue, allow the person figure out their own way. Rescue, they die. It's like you rescue to death. No. The rescuing is unto life, and he calls that life eternal life. If not, that preservation wouldn't have its place. So eternal life is preservation as a result of a rescue. That's when we have eternal life. Because then he is with you through it all. That is why it's eternal. Are we getting? So sin is not really a problem. Because, you know, do you know sin wouldn't have been a problem until God called it sin? In fact, we didn't know what sin is until God called it sin. So he knows what to do to whatever he calls sin. That's why a goat will want to have something to do with its mother. Because you are the one that knows that to have something to do with your mother is something that is against God. He doesn't know that. He just knows that he is on heat. So my mother is here. And it's the mother that tries to say, hey, I'm your mother. I gave birth to you. But he doesn't know. Or sometimes they even have things to do and it's quite normal or it's not normal. Father and daughter, goats, and like, I gave birth to you, but I want you to give birth for me. So there's something that sin produces. He saves you from the danger of what sin will produce. That's why people who think Jesus is afraid of sin, they have a problem because he's not so much afraid of sin. He came for sin. He came for sin. He dealt with sin. Are you listening? So then, when he comes, what he comes to do is to save. So the rescuer, which is Jesus, as we saw in Matthew chapter 1, Jesus, he shall save the world of their sins, is coming to rescue and as well not to just leave us. He is there to preserve us. In that preservation is what he calls eternal life. So if he doesn't keep you safe, we don't have sozo. If he rescued and he never preserved, there was no rescuing or there was no saving. It encompasses a number of activities. Look at John 5:24. We're looking at saved. What does the Bible have to say about it? John 5:24. John 5:24. He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and does what? And believeth on him that sent me hath what? Everlasting life. Everlasting life. Everlasting life. And shall not come into what? Condemnation. Crisis. He that believeth my word shall not come into condemnation, but is what? Passed. The word pass is metabino. It's to be removed. You see, it's removed. The person has been removed from the place of death and now stands in that place of what? Life. Stands in the place of life. He removes one from the path of death and he puts him in the path of righteousness. That's passed. The person has passed from death to life, has been removed, has been snatched from a path and then has been put on another path. And that path, he leads the path throughout. Now, these are all works of the Savior. The rescuing and the preservation is the entire work of Jesus Christ. He doesn't rescue you to leave you to figure it out. No. There's a rescuing, then there is a preservation from danger. He effectively keeps you safe. Look at Acts 16. That's why the word saved cannot mean morality. Because what we are saying has nothing to do with morality. Have you seen your morals as to the reason why he saved you? If you could save yourself, you shouldn't have had him come to save you. It's because you were in danger. He had to show up. And when he showed up, he saved you. And part of his rescue mission and his assignment in the rescue mission is to stay with you and to make sure that you are preserved. So he's rescuing and he's preserving. John 5:24. Sorry, Acts 16 instead. That's why people who think they have been unsaved after they have been moral or immoral, They think I'm unsaved because I've been immoral. Feel like they do the work with Jesus. You don't have a part to play. All you do is to call out to him. And when he shows up to rescue. And when he rescues, he preserves you from all forms of danger. That's his work. He knows how to rescue and he knows how to preserve. The moment there's no preservation, there's no rescue. Somebody say, will you be in the number when Jesus comes? You are telling Jesus that he's not a good preserver. Will you be in the number when Jesus comes? Where would you be my brother when Jesus comes? It's to say that the one that rescued is not good at preserving until the last day. But he's good at that. He knows how to handle that. It's entirely his work. You have nothing to do with it. You receive and he does the work. It's saved. Don't forget that. We'll see a lot of scriptures. You see, the only thing you do is to believe. And to believe means you were in unbelief that you could save yourself. You know, sometimes it's a contradiction to find people say that, you know, I believe and now I live right. That's why I got saved. No. Let's take away belief and let's see if your living right could get you saved. No. It's to believe. So you had unbelief in yourself. That is why you call out to him to save. So you don't call out to him to save and say, I have unbelief, save me. Then he comes and says, he saves you and says, now, you know, allow me. I can figure it out my own way. It doesn't work like that. It's his work to save and it's his work to preserve that which he has saved. That's the meaning of the word sozo. So look at Acts. Acts 16. Acts 16. Verse 25. Acts 16. Verse 25. Acts 16. Verse 25. You know, I feel shy using my Bible, but it's a good Bible. It shows that I read my Bible. Let me see your Bible. It's very new. So don't feel pity for me. Like, oh, he doesn't have a good Bible. I have a lot of Bibles, but the preference comes per occasion. So, let everybody lift up your Bible. Okay. You know, I met a preacher. He had a very old Bible. It was Reverend Chris Onayinka, actually. Old Bible. Just moves up. Old Bible. So I said, old Bibles are not bad, you know? So where's your old Bible? It's in the house. You mark a lot. Sometimes you must take that out for your studies. So it's a good one. I mean, so your Bible is just new. Every Sunday. Acts 16, look at what's happening in Acts 16. Acts 16:25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly, there were great earthquakes. So the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and every man's bonds were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, saying, do not harm yourselves, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to be saved? You see, the man has a mentality. He still looks to what he should do. He still looks to what he can do to be saved. To an extent, it's an intelligent question, but typically, you still see that he still is sort of like saying, there's something I have to do. Yes, there's something you have to do, but he didn't intend that it will be Paul's response. So he's saying, what must I do to be saved? Now look at what Paul says. Look at what Paul says. And they said, what are they saying? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and then thou shalt be saved. All right? So he says, maybe in the household, I'll deal with that later. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. So it means that believe that Jesus Christ is the one that rescues and preserves. You have to believe in him. He's the one that does it. Not what you should do, what you can do. Rather, believe in the one that can save you from what you are and from where you are at. So sometimes we ask ourselves, what must I do to be saved? Should I stop this? Should I stop that? Should I avoid this? Should I avoid that? Do I pray three times? You know, sometimes we like a lot of legalism. I was in a church. Somebody said that you have to pray this, pray that, pray this. I said, wow, it's not wrong. But sometimes we love that. How many of us fast 3 days, buy anointing oil, break it at 12 a.m.? Wow. Black oil, white oil, coconut oil, castor oil, koboko oil, mixed together, wake up at 12, mention 5 times, jump up 3 times. So they give you the thing, say, jump 3 times. Then maybe you are with someone, say, you are not jumping, jump 3. Say, okay, jump 2, 3. Okay. Assalamu alaikum, 7 times. You say, but assalamu alaikum is not Christian. Say, no, let's do it. It's from the pastor. So, assalamu alaikum. Oh my goodness. I heard a story about a lady who was asking someone, said, she met a pastor. And and the pastor said that she should go to the river and bath in the sea. And after, some number of days, she goes with another person. Many years, not many years, a few years ago. She should go with her boyfriend. And the boyfriend will bath. So 2 episodes of bathing in there. So I said, pastor, told you that. Boyfriend, you're not married. Are you going to be in blouse? No. Just bath. The way you bath. So she was now asking that, is it of God? I said, do you know, my right answer should be, it's of God. See, that's what I'm telling you, that you have to know Jesus. When you come and they are teaching you the word of God, you have to open your ears and open your heart. Right? You see what people are doing. See where people are going to. You say, it's normal. You know? Mix it. Not Danny Coco. So small hair. You are too God. When it comes to this, you have to go here. Sometimes you have to go and look inside. How many of us have had that? Look inside. So go and look inside. And the interesting thing is people don't even know whether it's true or not. That's what happens when you are not taught God's word. Because, you know, when something happens, you'll be desperate. You know, you want a solution at all costs. I did I meet someone? No, not I met somebody. I heard someone tell me real life story about somebody who could not conceive. She tried, church. It was not good. And she went somewhere. Then they gave her a child. And truly a child came. And the child, it would have been better if she didn't give birth to the child. Stubborn to the highest. Like this one is bosom. Like it's a small cord. Cord in prayer. So now she has had a child, but the child is very problematic. Problematic. Problems. Problems. This is our money. Today I seem to be veering off. I don't know who is here that needs to hear this. I seem to be veering off my sermons many of the times. Money. Say, so you want fast money. Many people who want fast money. In this church, I prophesied to a lady while we were at archaeology or something. And I spoke to her about something concerning blood sacrifices. She was going to be used. She came to church on Sunday. On, is it Monday or Tuesday? They had used her friend. Yeah. Is it Monday or Tuesday? Following Monday or Tuesday. Friend is used. If I tell you the things that we said was used to get the person saved. But Jesus is, we are showing you the word of God, we are teaching you, stick with it. Are you listening? So Jesus is coming to save. I think today the service is a saving, because I've saved you from money, I've saved you from loan, by the teaching saving. Then ultimately Jesus has saved all of us from things like that. Take your seats. So, in Acts 16 says, what must I do to be saved? But then Paul turns his attention away from what must I do to at least believing that someone else can save you. So he points him to Jesus. He doesn't point him to any works. Then he says, believe in the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the Savior. Jesus, the word Savior, Jesus. And then Yeshua in Hebrew. It means Savior, the God of salvation. So you're going to believe in Jesus. So whenever we say Jesus, we are talking about some Savior. That's what and that saving act is that he rescues and then he what? Preserves from harm's way. Believe in the one that saved. Believe in the rescuer and you shall be rescued and kept saved. Believe in the Savior and you will be saved. You'll be rescued and you'll be preserved as well in safety. Look at Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, verse 13. We are seeing the rescuer's mission. Some more. Remember, the word saved is even in, it's, you know, look at how he uses the word saved. Many of the times he uses the word saved for an activity that has already happened. Do you see that? It's like you have been rescued, you have been saved. You are now preserved. That's it. He's not saying being saved, will be saved, shall be saved, could be saved, cannot be saved, will not be saved. No. He that believeth is what? Saved. Look at Romans 10, 13. He says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved. So who is the rescuer? Jesus. So when he said, Lord Jesus, to call on the name of the Lord is to call on his saving power. It means he is to have the mind and heart to believe that he will be able to save. That's how you call on him. So he that calls upon the name of the Lord, believing that he is able to save, shall be what? Shall be saved. Whosoever. The word there is the word past. It means anyone of any kind. Remember, you couldn't save yourself from the power of sin and the condemnation that comes with sin. So he intends to appear and then rescues and preserves from condemnation, which is crisis, which is perishing. Do you see that? So when we call upon the name of the Lord, whosoever, he's not saying the one that stops doing what they are doing and never goes back to it. No, he says whosoever. You couldn't save yourself. So your salvation is not you thinking you stop that wrong act. Stopping that wrong act is good. It shows the fruit of it, but it's not the substance of it. The substance of it is something that Jesus and only Jesus can do. So he now says, whosoever, whosoever means whosoever, calls on the name of the Lord, is rescued, and not only rescued to be left in harm's way, is rescued and preserved from every kind of danger, every kind of crisis. Crisis, which is condemnation. You know, it's like calling an unbeliever, preaching to the unbeliever, and saying that now you are saved, so go and live. What is that? I'm just getting to figure out what you are even telling me. It's like I just heard what you are saying. Now that you are saved, you have to. I couldn't save myself. And if I couldn't save myself, I couldn't keep myself saved. Jesus is the one that saved me. He saved me from my sins and he saved me from condemnation. And now I have eternal life. If I didn't have eternal life, which is eternal, which is forever, that's going to be a problem because it's saving to further death. It's like we are just prolonging or elongating the death. Whosoever, some of all types, there's no particular person that cannot be saved. The only thing to do is to call on the name, to call on the name, to agree, I can't save myself. So they said, there has been somebody who has met all the requirements to cause a salvation. Then he says, that person is Jesus. Only believe he saves. Then you say, I believe he saved. Then he shows up. Then he saves. Then he continually preserves in safety, which is that life. Whosoever. So it means we did nothing to really warrant the Savior's saving except for believing. There's nothing else. If you know how to save yourself, you would have saved yourself. When the paramedics team come, like I used, you say, eh? Shut up and be saved. Top doctors are around. They are saving. Then you are saying, you know, I think now para will do. You don't have any knowledge of saving. They came to save you. You are saying para will do. If we give you power, it will not work. You have to keep quiet. Say, what can we do? Say, morphine. Say, what is more? I want para. Para, my mother said para works. So you couldn't save yourself. You know, and when we are done, I just want us to, in a few minutes, just love on the one that saved us when we could not have saved ourselves. That's why he's the most precious person we will ever and we can ever find. Is Jesus. The fact that he saves us and still stands by us and never sort of like abandons us is that kind of great love he has for us. That's his work. That's his work. That's the work that Jesus came to do. He's called Savior. Jesus, one that saves. He is the Savior of the world. That's why when we say Savior, the one you saved has come to give you praise. It's because then we see that we couldn't have rescued and preserved. All of those of you who feel like you have some preservation to do, just think about how you would be unsaved. You take your seats for a few minutes. How you would have been unsaved. Think about it. So that's why you should sleep calmly, because you know there's a preserver of that which was saved. You did nothing. You only received the Savior's work of salvation. That's all you did. You didn't do anything. And since you didn't do anything, you cannot do anything now, because he's the one that saved you. You didn't do anything. You cannot do anything now. You will never be responsible for doing anything, because your state was helpless. That's what happens. You know, sometimes we feel the way you are doing, God will not save you again. It's like we have a certain disciple that's very bad. So the way you are doing, God will not save you again. As though they're saving, he comes to save. Then when you sleep again, he comes to save. No, his work is not complete until he makes sure that salvation is sealed, is perfected. You know, as a pastor, last week I had people coming. This person is in prison. This person is in prison. That person is in prison. I said, wow. Jesus, he saves and preserves from further prison. There's no other prison apart from his prison saved. And what he gives to us is eternal life. Now, what we do when we are free is what actually matters. Because we still can choose to live as though we are not saved. And that's totally dependent on us. That's dependent on what we do with what he has given to us. But saving, he's done it. It's a finished work. The way you are doing, you will not be saved. And when you are dealing with other believers who have believed, you must have it on your mind that you are dealing with people who are saved. No matter how bad they are, you are dealing with a saved man. A saved man that chooses to still mess around, but he is yet still a saved man. A saved man who is yet to know the precious values of what he's being saved into is what you are dealing with. So you don't see people meddling in things. No, go. No, yo, that's one of the people that saved. In Sozo, you never contribute to anything. All you do is you receive the saving of the one that saved. Look at how Ephesians 2, as we close, puts it. You know it, but still open to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2, of course, verse 8. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. For how were we saved? For by grace are ye saved. Grace means we never did anything to warrant that saving. The only thing we did is to believe that he is able. He's able. By grace are ye saved through faith. It's not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works. Not of works. Lest any man should boast. Look at Hebrews 7 verse 25. He rescues and he preserves. Hebrews 7, verse 5. And verily, they that are of the sons of Levi, 25. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the what? Uttermost. Is that preservation? Uttermost is the word entirely. So he doesn't save you and so confuses you, leaves you. It's like he saves you and then he leaves you to figure it out, to find out a way you remain saved. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth. He does what? He ever liveth. He ever liveth. He's ever present in that saving activity. Look at John chapter 10, verse 9. Pay attention to the tense, saved. Saved. Not to be saved, will be saved. Saved, is saved. John 10 verse 9. Can we read together as a church? I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be what? And shall go in and out and find what? So if any man enters, what is that entering? It's to believe. That's how you enter. He shall be saved. Acts chapter 2.
I'm so glad I belong to Jesus. I belong to Jesus. I belong to my Lord. I'm so glad I belong to Jesus. I belong to Jesus. I belong to my Lord.
So he saved you. You belong to him. It's not like you were doing your own thing and then you figured out a way. No, he did the saving. And he's responsible. He owns you. Look at Acts chapter 2, verse 21. Can we read together as a church? And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be what?
Saved.
Okay. Is that helping? Look at Acts chapter 4 verse 12. Acts chapter 4 verse 12. Now, sozo is the word saved, right? Isos is the word savior. Soteria, like we all, majority of us may know, is the word salvation. It's not a different thing. So when he appears, look at what he says in Acts 4 verse 12. Neither is there salvation in anyone, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be what? There is not salvation, there is not saving in anyone or in any name. Look at Ephesians chapter 2 again. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Verses number 5. Can we read together? Do you see how he uses the word saved? Are we seeing it? Are you sure? Everybody back to Ephesians 2:5. Read together as a church. 1, 2, go. By grace, you will be saved. You are being saved. You'll be saved for a while, and then when you mess up, you are unsaved. You need monthly subscriptions of your salvation. You need to go to the altar every 6 months to renew, just in case, like myself. Okay, it's like when you wake up and you're not feeling saved, you re-say your salvation or you re-believe in Jesus. Is that what he's saying? No. Okay, what about getting up one day and hearing a very scary message of the end time? You know, those messages, you know, even some of the preachers sell, if you call them and you say, bruh, the way you are preaching this sermon, if, like, in your heart, or if it happens now, will you go? I'm sure you tell that, oh boy, it's just my work as an evangelist. That's why. So, the evangelist, sometimes is not even sure. One time, I went with a couple of you to Pastor Prince's place, and he shared a story how that a preacher went to preach somewhere. And then they asked him if he now was saved. And he said, he's not sure. So, why do you want me? I mean, why should I purchase something you are not sure about? That's why those who deal with a lot of markets and businesses, you have to be sure. You know, I was telling someone that the first way to market your product and to market it well is to be very sure about what you are saying. How many of you have entered restaurants? You went out and said, this, I will never come here again. That's all. Your marketing has spoiled. Yes. So you're marketing Jesus, but you're marketing a Jesus that is not sure. You're not, you know, my brother asked me something, my kid brother. He asked me that. So, Pascal, what if, I heard somebody say that if you say this, you say it means you are saved. I said, what if, so I was going to ask him that. Are you going to do that? Like what you are asking me? Is it you? Say, what if you are on top of a woman? Is it you? Would you be on top of a woman? Ask yourself. Is he you? I say, what if when he comes, I'm stealing? You know, sometimes we have some very interesting questions. We ask to like, sort of like dent the saving power of Jesus. Say, he just murdered somebody right now. And Jesus comes right, like the moment he's still struggling, later. Oh. So, are you going to do it? Are you going to do it? If you are going to do it, come and see, I'll give you an answer. But if you are not, can we just stick to what the scriptures are saying? How many of us are going to do it? You're going to kill somebody, you're going to be on top of a woman or a man, you're going to be smuggling a bank, you're going to be on your tampe. You never know. So, can we just believe what the Bible says? Can we just believe it? Can we just believe it? That he is the one that saved. You know, many of the times, we feel very self-righteous when we talk like that. Or, we also feel so unrighteous to be saved and saved entirely. It's two things. It's either you are so self-righteous where you said no. You know, you have to be very pious. God wants religious pious people. He doesn't love the religious pious person more than he loves the unpious person. That's the honest truth. He doesn't love the drunkard less than he loves the one who is always praying. No, he doesn't. One knows what they have received. The other does not know what they received. If you see somebody who is not drinking and prays and God answers them, it's not because of, you know, something. They definitely will know something that gets them what he has said he has already given them. You know, sometimes when we pass by prostitutes, we feel like they are going to hell. And some of those individuals are people who are actually saved. But they live wrongly. So can we just rather teach them to know what they have received? Because spiritual growth comes a lot with knowledge. You can't grow if you're not taught. You don't know God's word. You can't grow. You can't grow out of that addiction. You can't grow out of that problem. You can't grow out of that issue. So the saving power of Jesus. You see, when the gospel is taught like this, every mouth will be stopped. Because then now you can't argue that you are so self-righteous. That's why you are saved. It's like the publican who stands before Jesus and is asking Jesus a question. You know, I'm a publican. I fast, I pray, I do this, I do that. Jesus Christ is looking at him quietly like this. It's not because of this. You have to believe I save you, not you are saving yourself, or not what you do saves you. I have saved you. If I have saved you, I have saved you. If you are not saved, you can't do anything to be saved by myself. There's nothing you do. You know, sometimes you think God is going to send Jesus to the world to save just a few, 144,000. But you have a scripture in Revelation. You are going to be 144,000. So Jesus will come and die, 144,000. The whole world, 8 billion and over, 144,000. Okay, you said you've never killed someone before, but you've also done something before. Even this morning, if you got angry by the person, you did something, you... Can we all just be humble? So do you see that salvation makes us all humble? Makes us all humble. And it makes us all teach the love of the Father, irrespective of who the person is and what the person looks like and the color of the person and what the person can do and what the person has done and what the person will do and who the person is. Do you know many of the times your judgments are based on who you are? That's why when you see somebody who does something that you do, you can't talk. Because your judgment is based on what you do. You, like you, is the judgment. You are the standard of yourself. That's why when you see someone smoking and you don't smoke, you say the person cannot be saved. But you lie, you lie. I promise you. Lies. How many of us can lie? How many of you can really lie? This is like everybody is very... Nobody lies. Yes, I'm the only one who doesn't lie. True. Me, I hardly lie. I can be looking at you like this, I'll tell you the truth. Yeah. But I don't know what I've been through. So maybe I'm yet to be through. I don't know. I'm just going to be humble. But for me to lie to you, like I'm lying to you, no. Even if it means I should tell you, I will not care about how you feel. Because when I lie, I'm going back to think about God. He's going to ask me, you lied. You are lying. It's one of the things my pastor has always been telling me. Don't lie. Not because I lie. I don't lie. But he tells me, you are a prophet. When you say the truth, your words are going to be much sharper. Don't lie. So I always put it in my mind. If you catch me right now, I'll be shaking up. I'll be telling you the truth. But to say I'm going to lie, no. So, but you say you have not fornicated before. But you lie. You lie bad. How many of us have lied before? Intelligent? Me, myself, everybody. Oh, where are you? I'm. You know, let me teach you how I started to learn how not to lie. It's like when I lie, that very moment I say, hey, please, sorry, I lied. This is the truth. Yeah, that's how I learned to not lie. Yeah. So you can catch me lie 3 times. Then, but I'll confess 3 times with you. That's how I taught myself not to. Yeah. I'll be talking to you. No, it's not like this. Sorry, it's like this. So I'm trying to help myself not to lie. But we all lie. Let me put myself. Everybody lies. I mean, I don't. I, like I said, I don't know. But But when you see somebody who does something, you think the line is lesser. Like God understands, my son's. But that killer is a very great killer. You are all the same. We are all the same. Are you listening? Yeah, I don't take nonsense. But you all, I don't take nonsense. Same. Jesus worked entirely. Let's give him that respect and that honor. We couldn't save ourselves. And so he did. He rescued and he preserves from harm's way. That's why they said there is therefore now no condemnation in Romans. There is not anything like it. We will not arrive in crisis. Because he rescued us and he stands with us to the end. See, are you rapturable? You know, give me what standard you have to use to be rapturable. Give me the standard. Don't do this, don't do this. Okay, then we start following. Can we just give Jesus his role? Can we do that? You know, men of God, sometimes we try to say that we have to teach the people to not fornicate, don't. It's not only fornication that is on pulpits. Wrong, fornicate. You don't say, don't lie. It's majorly. It's the major sin. Anytime, or it's not true. But you don't talk about other wrongs. Don't add a zero. Don't disrespect your boss. All of those are included. Don't watch pornography. You have not fornicated, but you are involved in heavy pornography. You don't know Jesus is looking at you and saying, it's the same. I'm not going to ask you who has watched pornography. Some of you are, starting to repent. You are starting to repent, isn't it? How many of us are repenting? Your mind is changing to see Jesus for who he is. I've taught you repent, so I don't mean repent. Repent is to change. He's the savior of the world. He's the one that saved me. I couldn't save myself. I couldn't save myself. And that's what causes us to love him. That's what causes us to call him Father, Savior, Redeemer, and not feel very off because we did something. He says, come before me boldly into that presence where I dwell. You're supposed to come in there. Father, Savior. You know, some of us who are spiritual, we also think our salvation is based on how much we pray. So it's like when we pray, he's more excited about us. Not necessarily. Salvation has nothing to do with prayer. It has nothing to do how many times you fast. Nothing, please. Sometimes we resort our a lot of things, salvation, spirituality too. There's a place for that. But there is that foundation to stand on that says, no, Jesus is the one that starts it from start to finish. Doesn't mean you live a reckless life. Because when you understand what I'm saying, even recklessness will get out of the window. Because you are so conscious of his presence. Remember I told you, when he saves, he's there with you. So you're not doing something right because you want to be very legalistic because nobody's seen you. No. You know he's there. When the lights are off, he's there. When nobody's watching, he's there. He's there. And he saves. So you don't live a life in fear. You say no to wrong because it's just not what he wants you to do. He loves. You know, there are times I just say, Lord, you're so kind that is not dependent on me. When it also happens like this, you have your mentality to strive to be something good before him, before people, it stops. He says, ye are accepted in the beloved. You're not striving to be accepted. Striving to be saved. Striving to be understood. No, he knows who you are. He knows he saved you. Can we just lift up our hands? That's why we serve him in the ministry as well. That's why we serve him. Because nobody could have done what he did for us. Look at how bad we were. And he said, I still like you. I still like you. Listen to me. The word salvation is the word soteria, which it means deliverance and healing. It means our healing is also not dependent. We just have to receive it. He is the one that does it. That's why we can say we're strong in our bodies. Because healing is what he does when we believe and we receive. Our God is a merciful God. He's a kind God. He's a good God.